It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
There's so many favorite parts of that video he showed on ESPN.
That's not funny anymore.
You got all the laughs
out of it on Friday, okay?
No, it's when you went cross-eyed, Key. That killed me.
Okay? Enough. We got enough out of it.
He's had it.
Now.
I'm so glad Pat did not post that. Because the internet would have had a field day with that.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and
Max. What do you
mean,
grow up?
Progressive Insurance. Up.
Obviously, no.
The internet doesn't scare me.
Nobody said the internet would scare you. I just don't want pictures out there of you.
Well, the internet is idiots anyway. Now, I said it, and you're part of the internet, Jay.
Okay.
All right. Jay has takeaways from this weekend, Key.
I don't care about his takeaways.
888-SAY-ESPN.
He fumbles everyone.
What? 888-SAY-ESPN.
And I hope the internet goes after you, Jay.
729-3776. Internet comes around for everybody eventually.
Be mad at Jerry for the video. I didn't do anything. I'm just over here watching it.
Look, guys like Jerry.
Guys like Jerry.
Well, Jerry's not on the show anymore.
Yeah, Jerry's off the show.
I have a theory.
Jerry no longer has a job, Key.
Jerry and Pat, you know, they do this together.
Oh, yeah, you know so, Pat's behind everything.
Yeah,
like
oh,
that.
My
yeah,
God.
100%.
Yes.
The maestro.
That's okay.
I didn't do anything.
Those are always the guy that did it. The guy, yeah. I didn't do anything. Oh, you did
yeah,
it.
I didn't do anything. Mistaken identity, though. That's
you've got
okay.
No proof.
Pat's got the camera set up across the street like this is The Wire, and you're in the park with Marlo trying to do a deal.
I told Pat, mistaken identity. Up and down Massachusetts, through Connecticut. Up the New York State line, Philadelphia, they're going to put it all together.
You got to keep an eye on him, Key.
Yeah, you got to keep an eye on him. Hey, I'm mistaken identity.
You can't pin any of that on me.
They're going to have him locked away for about 4 years before they find out it wasn't him.
Pat Costello.
I know how these things
cop.
Go.
Mm-hmm. All right, look. KJM's presented by Progressive Insurance. Jay, you have some takeaways from this weekend, and we're going to get to your calls. It's at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's hear these takeaways, Jay.
I get some music, Yates. What you got for me? Okay. First off, takeaway. Cavs versus Knicks. I see you, New York. I see you, Jalen Brunson, from the time you've been like 8 years old and your dad was clawing me on the Chicago Bulls. You are a 3.0 version of him. I see you putting the work, but I have a bigger question for New York City fans and Knicks fans. You're going to beat a team in which Donovan Mitchell, who I love, who is my boy, but 11 points, has more turnovers than field goals in that game, was a huge loss for the Cavs. But Julius Randle, your team wins the game. You get benched in the fourth quarter. You have not played well in this series, and you don't talk to the media when the game's over after your team won the game. You're the lone all-star on this team. Please, please buy into what's going on. Buy into RJ Barrett finally playing well. Emmanuel quickly had 0 points. And I know that the camera kept paneling over to you in the fourth quarter, and you tried, you got involved. But just talk to the media, own up that you haven't been playing well, but your team is still winning. I beg of you, do not make it about you, but make it more about the Knicks winning and being up 3-1. Versus the Cavs. Next up, the worst superstar of all time, Stephen A. Smith. You are my man. You are my big brother. But I can't allow you to do this about Kawhi. I know that Kawhi has not been there. I know that there's been low management around the way he's handled things. I know there's been challenges for Ty Lue and not knowing whether your superstar is going to be quote-unquote available or not. But let's not act like Kawhi Leonard, who is a two-time finals MVP, a two-time champion, is all of a sudden making the choice not to be available for game 3 and game 4. Like, I believe that Kawhi Leonard will play if he could play. But I can't hold it against him that maybe Father Time and his body just aren't built long-term for basketball. And I'm not going to allow people of the media, Key, as we talk about, to make it seem like Kawhi is choosing not to be available. Oh, he can't play through pain. He played through pain in game two. Now, it may not be the level that people want it to be. He may not be able to play the amount of games that people want him to play, but that doesn't mean that he's doing that on purpose to try to say, well, I'm not. He's tough, man. Come on. Let's not make that the narrative.
Quick question
about Kawhi.
Quick question for me, Jay.
Talk to me.
Are you on First Take today?
No, I'm not. Thursday.
Okay. All right.
Thursday. I look forward to addressing it with Stephen A. on Thursday.
No, I just didn't know because I was going to say I'm going to tune in for sure.
Thursday, for sure.
It's going to be explosive.
Explosive content. Third up on the list, the Heat are up 2-1, but don't believe it. I'm sorry, Nick Arison, you're my boy. I'm sorry, Eric Spoelstra, you're my boy. But they're undersides, and Giannis is going to come back and play in game four. Giannis, I think, could have played in game three, and I give Jimmy Butler and the Heat a lot of credit. They did their thing, but this team is undersized, and I think when Giannis comes back in game four, there's nothing that's going to make me believe that the Heat are going to win this series, because if Giannis comes back, they're going to win this series. But until they do, more props to the Heat for it, but I don't believe it. Sorry. Last up on the list, people keep talking about fights. Max, I love boxing. I love it. I've known about you for a long time. I've trained for a long time. It's one of the best sports that should deserve and receive more attention. The liver shot by Tank Davis was one of the realest shots I've seen in a long time. Now, I got some questions to ask you, Max, about the hydration clause that Conor McGregor talked about post-game with Ryan Garcia. But the liver shot is one of these shots that people are talking about, the shot, the fight being rigged and people going down. If you haven't boxed before, if you've never taken a liver shot, don't say anything. Do not talk to me because you have no idea what the hell you're talking about. It's one of the hardest shots in MMA and boxing overall in general. It essentially paralyzes the body. The fight was everything I wanted it to be. Max, I would love to hear your interpretation of it.
First of all, Tank Davis, Ryan Garcia fight a big, big fight. Ryan Garcia has almost 10 million Instagram followers. Tank Davis is a huge star. He packs arenas, right? And this was highly anticipated. Ryan Garcia really pursued this fight. He wanted to make a big fight. And Tank wasn't against it. But because Garcia was willing to concede a lot, the fight got made. Two networks worked with each other. Mm-hmm. You know, like you can see when two fighters want it, or at least one fighter really wants it and the other one's not opposed to it, you can overcome the fact that there are different networks with different promoters. If there's enough money in the pot, you could figure it out.
They even bet online, like, oh, yeah, you win, you get the whole purse.
Yeah,
like,
fighters but do that's that sometimes, not really and no one ever holds them to
okay,
it.
Okay, exactly.
Yeah. So in order to make the fight, Ryan Garcia agreed to all kinds of rehydration clauses. Because even though Tank has fought at 140 pounds, Ryan Garcia is the taller, bigger fighter.
So you have two weigh-ins, correct?
Yes, you have the one weigh-in, you got to weigh this, 1 pound over the lightweight limit, 136.
Yeah.
And then the next day you can't weigh more than 10 pounds above that, which you would think, 10 pounds in a day? Yeah, man, fighters rehydrate more than that frequently, right? So because they have the weigh-in the day before now. It used to be weigh-in same day.
Same day,
so guys
exactly.
were more like in their right weight classes. But anyway, the fight itself, yeah, do I think the rehydration thing played into it? Unfortunately, yes, because it gives people an excuse, and Tank didn't need one. Ryan Garcia is a very good fighter. Tank looks to be perhaps a great one. His analysis of the fight afterward was exactly on the money. He was always one step ahead of Ryan Garcia. He knew what he was going to do, and he's just a better, more complete boxer with more tools, a deeper tool chest, right? So he could take away Garcia's left hook, which is his Sunday punch, and just outbox him, which is what happened, and eventually countered him in the body with a liver shot, which, as you say, Jay, people who are like, Garcia quit or it was fixed. Oscar De La Hoya, who's Garcia's promoter, same thing against who, Jay? You watch Bernard Hopkins.
Yep.
He moved up to fight Hopkins. Hopkins hit him with a left hand in the liver. End of the fight. So there's nothing Garcia could do at that point. It was a delayed reaction. He took a hard shot in the liver, and that was it. Tank is an excellent all-around fighter, not just with boxing ability and fast twitchies, but with real punching power in both hands. And it seems to me, Jay, that the big super fight, look, Saquon Barkley tweeted about it after the
Shakur Stevenson. It's time now.
Eventually. It's time. Not yet. Because the lightweight champion is Devin Haney. Devin Haney's fighting Lomachenko on ESPN in May. And that'll be the lightweight champ. But Shakur is now in that division. Shakur will probably fight the winner of that fight, of Haney Lomachenko. Shakur will be favored to win. And once that happens, a Shakur Tank Davis fight.
I need to see it, Max.
Last thing I'll say real quick is real super fights are not promoted into existence. This is how it works. The dust settles. There's Pacquiao. There's Mayweather. There's Sugar Ray Leonard. There's Marvin Hagler. There's Muhammad Ali. There's Joe Frazier. You know, right now it's Terrence Crawford, Errol Spence. Hopefully they make that. When the dust settles in this, it always seemed to me it's going to be Shakur and Tank. Doesn't mean it's going to be that, but it feels that way. Feels to guys like Saquon Barkley, it's going to be that way.
Ooh.
Jay, just pick me up at Van Nuys and
I got you.
Okay.
I got you. Well, come on, Scoopy. We're all going to do the show from Vegas, all that. Yes.
Know? Yeah.
I'm making
you got me. Jay Teterboro to Van Nuys, Van Nuys to
lock it in.
Was it McLaren or whatever it was called in Vegas?
Yeah, McLaren.
Yeah, McLaren. Lock it in.
Van Nuys to McLaren, yeah. You know, Key and I have the little secrets. We don't need to advertise it, but the fake PJ to McLaren.
No, I'm going to Jay's PJ.
I'm saying, if that doesn't work out, you're closer. If that doesn't work out, you do the fake PJ. It's okay.
Well, it's not really a fake PJ, but it worked for us.
It works. It works all day. All right. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. You get to weigh in on Dylan Brooks and LeBron, ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. 888.
Who's the black sheep? What's the black
say
sheep?
Say ESPN. I think this came out right before you got to New York, Key. I want to say you were still in L.A. and probably in college when this dropped.
Right around that time.
Yeah. Greco in Queens, you're on KJM, ESPN Radio.
Hey.
Yeah. Hold up. Greco on the mission. With Keyshawn, Jay, and Max on your television. Boy, we talking sports all the time, and Kellerman will probably say it is a loaded rhyme. When Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max on the air... Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max on the air. Come on, fellas.
What up, baby?
Got a chorus and everything.
I like that, yo.
I know, hopefully, Jay, I know you digs me, but Key and Jay, you know, Key put his head down last time, and Max put his hand on his mouth, but it's all good. I had to come with one for Max that he would probably feel, but, you know, it's all gravy.
That's right. You got to bring your top game on the show, baby.
But no. All jokes aside, I was coming with Dylan Brooks and LeBron James. Now, Dylan, he said LeBron was old. Of course, he's older than you. He's been in the league a lot longer than you, and he's accomplished a whole lot more. And you are dreaming to have the same career as LeBron, which will never be. So, again, his thing is, I got to play the villain, but he can't be a bad boys Pistons team all by himself. The whole team got to buy into something like that.
Interesting. That's an interesting point, guys. Like, you try to – if you want to have a whole team mentality like that, it's a little different than if you just have one dude, right? Like, if you took Dylan Brooks off Sacramento, they wouldn't be known as the bad guys.
When did Dylan Brooks play for Sacramento?
Oh, sorry. What did I say? I think it was Sacramento. Never mind that. Kimberly A. Martin, ESPN NFL reporters here. Sacramento's not known as the bad guys, by the
no.
way.
No.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Kimberly. Look, let's take a look at Kimberly, because if I don't comment on her appearance,
I get bitterly rebuked. I like it today, yeah.
Beautiful as always. That'll be my general comment.
Yo, the green laces, though?
I love the green laces.
Tough.
I love these green laces. You know what's funny? These just drop. People think I'm repping the Celtics. Let's be clear. I'm from New York. I'm not repping Boston for anything. These are just cute sneakers. That's about it. That's the extent of that. How do you Max always has opinions about my sneakers. You good?
The only time I've ever snapped on your sneakers, your sneakers are always fresh.
Yeah.
She brought in the Chewy 3000s
first
one time.
First of all, the Jordan was growing ones with the tongue.
That's the only
Max
time.
Max just doesn't know what's
otherwise.
Fresh
by the way, you notice how I'm like, oh, you look beautiful as always. You're like, oh, whatever. You roll your eyes. Jay says, look at the green laces. You're like, oh, thank you, Jay. Yes, you're beautiful. He said you have green laces on.
Yeah. Because Jay stays with the compliments. Jay always makes me feel good.
You're very self-conscious now, Max. You could just stay in your
Kimberly
lane. Just focus on yourself.
All right,
Kim.
What's up, Key?
Kimberly,
yes?
let's cut to the chase
let's
here.
Get to
Who's going number one overall? That's the question. NFL draft.
Yeah, it's going to be Bryce Young, which is wild. But think about it. Every year we go through this. It's the, Mac Jones definitely going to the San Francisco 49ers. Oh, clearly. And then it's like, oh, guess what? They went with Trey Lance. Right now you talk to anybody and they say Bryce Young. The interesting thing is that the draft really starts, I think, at Houston. Because not just will they go, will they take C.J. Stroud, but will they go QB at all? Or will they go defensive player? So I think things will get really, really intriguing at 2.
Kim, you mentioned C.J. Stroud.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned C.J. Stroud.
Yes.
But now all of a sudden there's these, how they do, the negative rumors that float out about his inability to pick up whatever. What is that called again, Jay and Max? What do they call it? The test that they're doing.
Oh, the S2, yeah.
S2, yeah. Mm-hmm. So now all of a sudden the S2 is a problem.
Right.
For him, and he's supposed to be, I just sum it up by saying not smart, okay?
Probably doesn't
That's
play
the
enough
way
video
I look
games
at it.
Is my guess.
And so is this why people starting to think that Houston may pass on a quarterback and because of this sort of stuff that's out there?
Well, I will say every year around this time, when you talk to football evaluators, they'll say, we do this. November, December, January, February, we're looking at guys' films. We're talking to teams. We're talking to different coaches and stuff like that in the college ranks. So football evaluators feel like it's actually the media that finally catches up to what the draft evaluators in football buildings actually think. So the question, I always hate draft time when it's like, why is so-and-so falling? It's like, did they fall? Or have teams always felt this way about guys?
Yes.
But the information, now all of a sudden it's being filtered out. With C.J. Stroud, what bothers me is that every year, a couple years ago it was Justin Fields. All of a sudden, the kid's lazy, last one in, first one out, all that kind of stuff. Now it's C.J. Stroud from the Brady Quinn situation with him not going to the Brady the Peyton Manning passing academy. Like all these things, like this is what bothers me because things are put out about these guys without any sort of thought given to the repercussions. And the fallout, which is this is their careers. I did talk to a couple GMs last night, asked if the S2 score was a red flag with C.J. Stroud, and he said, He said it would be a red flag in a sense, but I would more so go with what we're able to do with him when he sees us. Like, what, you know, our interviews, like when we sit down with him, what are we able to gauge from him as opposed to just test scores? And let's be clear. If you are on the fence about a guy or if you really like another guy, you'll use whatever to justify your position. That confirmation bias thing. Like, ooh, yeah, I wasn't sure about CJ Stroud. Oh, look, here's something else that points. But when you talk to certain people in the league, they'll say, I don't care what a test says. When I turn on the film, he looks like he processes pretty damn well and he makes good decisions on the football field. And there are a lot of football players currently in the NFL who have tested well and do dumb things on the football field in games that actually cost you wins and losses. So I just don't. I hate it for the kid. Hopefully he goes somewhere.
Yeah, I never was one, as I told you, Jay, to buy into that. Back when I was playing, the Wunderlich score was it was all about the Wunderlich score. And you have to, when guys are tested, it's like anything in school. Are you into that test? Do you really feel like, okay, I'm going to sit down and really go through this? I might have had one of the lowest scores in the history of the Wunderlich. Guess what I did, though? I went in there and went, because I knew I was going number one. It didn't matter. So I just went in and did anything.
Anything. I just
went in there and was like, let's get this over with.
Excuse my ignorance. So, like, what is the S2 judge? Like, what kind of questions are on?
Reaction time, right?
Yeah. And it's supposed to test, it's supposed to test, like, intelligence and how quickly you can, like,
read and react.
Things.
Of course, it's different. It's different when, like Mike Tyson says, everyone has a plan until you get punched in the mouth, right? Like, it's different in live action when these 280 pounders are coming at you.
Yep.
So, where do you think CJ drops to?
So that's the interesting thing because, you know, I've talked to people who have said, I've talked to GMs and other teams who are behind the Texans, you know, out of the top 10 who have said, I can see the Texans going with QB. And I've also talked to people who have said, I can see them not going with a QB, but they need to. But think about one GM I thought it was interesting last night. He had said, you know, if you're running that system, you don't need a top tier quarterback. Like if you're the Texans, you might be in that building thinking, you know, D'Amico Ryans just came from San Francisco. Their OC has San Francisco ties. Like, they just went through a season where it's like they had 1,900 quarterbacks. They've made it work based off of the system and the Shanahan system. And do you really need a guy that's like, oop, he's the best? Or can you just get a guy who's going to make smarter decisions and just run the offense the way you see fit? So,
Kimberly A. Martin. For some reason, has switched her allegiance to the Boston Celtics. I don't
know why. Oh, Max, don't have my mentions in shambles. Listen,
weird.
I'm from New York City. We will never rep Boston.
There you go. This is why you got to love Kimberly Martin, who appears on such platforms across ESPN.
As
this just in, 2 p.m. Eastern. Thank you, Kimberly.
Thanks, guys.
Warriors-Kings series tied at 2. Dylan Brooks, decidedly not on the Sacramento Kings. Jay, I don't know why you thought that.
I never said that, Max.
Is this series over, KJM?
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We are joined now by the great Monica McNutt, ESPN basketball analyst. Good morning, Monica.
Good morning, fellas.
What up, cuz?
Oh, it's a Monday morning in the playoffs. You know how that goes.
Your Knicks won yesterday, though.
Ha! The Knicks did win yesterday.
How was the Garden?
Garden was crazy. We sat in the ESPN suite at least for a half. It was insane. I mean, as we're walking out to go across the street, all the fans are like, we should be up by more, which was very true if the Knicks had better three-point shooting. But ultimately, you win a ball game and sit Julius Randle in the fourth. Shout out to Obi Toppin. Let's go.
Can I ask you, though, Julius gets benched in the fourth, and the camera kept paneling over to him, like looking for like some kind of reaction. I mean, he cheered on his team. But then just for him to dip out after the game and not talk to the media, like, what's that about in a win?
A couple things. I think folks forgot that he had a really bad ankle sprain with five games to go in the regular season.
Yep.
So I think that had caught up to him a little bit. For all the growth that Julius has shown this year, if he doesn't have to, he's not going to. And that's kind of just where it is.
Mm. Okay. Do you think there's any correlation between his diminished effectiveness and therefore kind of importance in the offense and the Knicks' increased success?
No, because game one, he was huge. I think even though he didn't necessarily have a stat line that you rave about in game, what are we at, four? Game three, I thought his presence was important. Yesterday, he just was ineffective, and I think that ankle injury catches up to him. But this team, without him going down the last five games, quite frankly, I don't know that OB has the confidence to produce the way that he did yesterday.
Monica, you were at the game, so you had a chance to see him go up 3-1. Is this team able to compete beyond this round, beyond Cleveland?
I think if Milwaukee doesn't have Giannis, there's a conversation. But I will say of the top three teams in the East, they've played really well and gotten wins over Philly and Boston. I think they actually, I don't know what it is with Boston. They seem to show up and play their best ball versus them. The nature of a series is there's plenty of time to make adjustments. And the adjustments, frankly, are what concerns me. Because even though they're up 3-1 in this series, there's not a ton of wrinkles to the offense. There's different guys that have good games, but ultimately it's a heavy reliance on Jalen Brunson iso ball. And he's been terrific, but I think you look at the defensive caliber that's about to kick up a notch when you talk about any of those three teams, and in particular the Bucks, who they were running to, and it's a little bit of a different story in my mind.
Is this series over, though?
I think it's a wrap, yeah.
Yeah. Donovan Mitchell is still a name that people kind of float around like, oh, we could have gotten him as a Knicks fan. 11 points, more turnovers than field goals. It seems like they're a one-dimensional team. Like, outside of pick and roll between him and Darius Garland, there's really nothing for them to do. Like, what do you think about his performance thus far?
Jay, honestly, I'm so surprised, right? Like, yes, I work for MSG, but we also cover the league at large for us, right? And I did not realize two things, that the Cavs don't have any depth and just how one-dimensional their offense was, right? I was like, ooh, the Cavs back line, like Julius typically struggles against long, lean defenders, but he's been able to take advantage of his strength versus them. And then when he's not in, Obi, Isaiah Hartenstein yesterday, Mitchell Robinson, like the length has not bothered any of the Knicks back line. So I'm not sure what's up in terms of Donovan's productivity.
It's wild.
Neither team has been able to connect from the three-point line. Like, it's actually kind of nasty if you're just a basketball fan. But the Cavs offense, they sort of have the same Achilles heel that the Knicks have, and there's just not that much creativity.
Monica, you know, Jimmy Butler every year, for example, I'll use him as an example. You know, no one really thinks of him as a top five player. He's top 10, 15. And then the playoffs start, and by the middle of the playoffs, you're like, you know, if he's top five in the playoffs every year, doesn't that kind of mean he's top five? Jalen Brunson. What he's doing now, the way the Mavs looked with him and without him, now the way the Knicks look, the fact that he's the best player in the series, Donovan Mitchell's on the other side. What are you thinking about him now? Where are we with Brunson's position in the NBA?
He definitely should have been an All-Star. I think that was a huge swing and miss. I feel like the potential award of most improved is not grammatically correct when it comes to Jalen, like most unlocked maybe, but I don't know that he's actually improved. He's been on a bigger stage and had to carry the load. I think that that was there. And I remember having a conversation with Knicks folks in the process of the trade going down. It was kind of like, but it's a really small sample size. And Jonathan Wallace, shout out to Jonathan Wallace, boo Syracuse, but shout out to Jonathan Wallace. He goes, Mon, are you kidding me? It's a small sample size. Yes, but it was in the playoffs. That's when it's at its peak. That's when everything is heightened. He's like, that dude's going to be fine. And, of course, he goes back with his dad, Rick, so he knew insider knowledge as well. But I just think that they do need to get Jalen more help. I think everything comes so heavy. Now, granted, he's been able to flourish and come up with big buckets, but that team desperately needs like a shooter.
What kind of help?
Are you back on the RJ Barrett train?
I never got off.
Okay.
I think we had
a lot of fans have gotten off.
Yeah, I wasn't trade RJ camp at all. I never got off. I think, and this is why I think RJ is actually succeeding in a series, Jay, because I think RJ is so cerebral almost to his detriment sometimes. And so Jalen and Julius were very clear on what they got to do and what their role is for this team. RJ's, if it's a good day of shooting, I'm going to space the floor for them. If it's not, I'm going to attack, but I got to find my spots when Julius and Mitch and them aren't in my way. A series? He's had a chance to watch film, and this team is playing him the same way? Like yesterday, he's splitting Allen and Mobley and finishing at the rim? Like, that is pure. I've been studying these guys on film, and I'm ready to rock and roll. So I still want him to find his jump shot, particularly from three, but I want this whole team to find their jump shot, so I'm not mad at that. I wasn't off the RJ train. I do think that RJ's probably a third piece, though. Like, he's not going to be the guy, but when he's playing well, there's upside to his game.
Monica McNutt, ESPN basketball analyst, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Monica, what do you think, or better yet, let's talk about this team out west and the Lakers along with the Memphis Grizzlies. What do you think about what Dylan Brooks of the Sacramento Kings? Right, Max? Dylan Brooks of the Sacramento Kings.
I can't believe Jay said that on the radio.
What do you think about what he said in terms of the media playing a major role in why people look at him the way that they do and why he was eventually ejected from the game?
I didn't hear the whole sound, Key, but correct. Congratulations. Like, I don't think – here's the thing about the media. The media can't straight up make up something if you don't give them some of the ingredients, right? Like, maybe the cake is more elaborate. It's a 5-layer cake, and perhaps your ingredients were like a Betty Crocker box pound cake, but like, you started it, bro. Like, what do you mean? I don't think – Dylan has to be honest about what he said on the microphone, how he's behaved in games. And I think it's actually interesting because you think about Draymond, and I think over the summer he may have sat down with Taylor Rooks and he talked about kind of the toll of being the villain. So I understand that Dylan may be having a look in the mirror sort of moment, but like, dude, you started this.
He did indeed. Meantime, Jalen Brunson and RJ Barrett were in the zone. Get in the Zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the Zone, AutoZone. I was just trying to figure out a way to loop it back so I could do that read. But there was no smooth way to do it, Monica.
Can I ask you about Sacramento and Golden State last night?
Let's talk about it,
so
Jay.
Let's get into it. So, like, the last play.
I hate it.
All right, first off, I ask, why even call a timeout if you're Mike Brown? Like, let it be chaotic, right? Let De'Aaron Fox go.
Okay.
And then, like, why wouldn't you run a 1-4 flat? Like, why would you try to bring up Harrison Barnes for a screen just to get Steph on him? But De'Aaron's been in his bag the whole game. It's not like Draymond's been an elite. That's the first time Draymond's guarded him the whole series like that.
Okay, that's a great question. A 1-4 flat would definitely help because my question was like, as good as De'Aaron Fox is, he's literally the clutchest in the league, he's still kind of slight of build, right? Yep. And so you let two defenders load up and wait for him. Like, what are we doing? I wanted him coming off a screen. I wanted him going to Malik Monk's side. Like, Malik Monk has been playing better down the stretch. I just hated the whole thing. And granted, he lost his handle a little bit. I was okay with the timeout, but I just thought it would provide something a little more creative. Like, the Warriors were literally waiting.
From the coach of the year in the NBA.
I'm like, we're not going to get this man coming off a screen. We're not going to get no action, like, create some confusion, something.
Ugh. They also got an open look at three in a 1-point game.
Yeah, but the look wasn't for him. Like, that was a byproduct of it not being right.
Yeah, right, right. But I'm saying, even so, the shot that they got, as Jay points out, you can take a higher percentage shot than that. Three. It's a 1-point game. Yeah.
And also, Monica, let's go back to the Stephen Curry timeout situation. How you and I have been in so many huddles. There's always one assistant coach like, we got one timeout left, or we got zero timeouts left. No timeouts. How does that go unnoticed?
Do you understand how I was like, it was another one of those, is this your king moment? Like, this is the team that is so seasoned. Wah, wah, wah. looking like the rooks in this moment. I was livid the Kings did not capitalize on that game yesterday.
That was, I mean, like if the shot falls, like for everything you guys don't like, he still had a pretty good look. If Harrison Barnes' shot falls, they have a 3-1 going home.
I'm with you, Max.
It's pretty much a wrap.
I'm with you, but it didn't fall.
It didn't fall. So now who's the now Warriors still got to get one on the road. They got to get it.
Yeah, because we earlier last week. How do you feel after game two? And the pendulum has swung to the Kings for me. Like I the Warriors have not shown me they can show up on the road yet. Kings still have home court.
I don't know, man.
They just haven't shown me yet. And I could very well be wrong.
I hear you. It's just like now I feel like we're getting into the meat of the series where I hope it goes seven, by the way. I want it
feels
to go
like
seven
it's going four. Seven.
It's the best series there is that we have in playoffs right now. But there is something about experience that I think is going to. And Jordan Poole, sometimes I feel like Golden State has been a little bit loose with the ball. It frustrates me. But I'm going to actually slightly favor experience in this one.
Here's my thing on experience. Like, I also think counterpoint, youth, naivete, if you will, like playing free, playing light. I think that matters. And to me,
they don't got the baggage. They don't have.
Nothing, right? Yeah. To me, that experience is more important to what that team has been able to do defensively over their storied run, and they don't have that this year. This is not.
Although Draymond did force the ball out of De'Aaron Fox's hands and into the hands of a guy you want taking the shot in that situation.
This is a bad play call.
Monica, I'm still here. I'm me, you know. I'm here. I ain't changed to nothing. I'm just saying, Key. You know.
All right, Pumpkin.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
KJM, we're presented by Progressive Insurance, ESPN Radio. If one of the quarterbacks in the NFL draft starts to slide, or, as Kimberly A. Martin said, and Key, this is right up your alley, I'm sure you love this, are they really sliding, though? Are they really sliding, or is it just the media misinterpreting the signals, you know, and thinking they're higher on teams' draft boards than they are?
Interesting. No, enough, Max. You already know it's right up my alley, right?
Right up
your alley. Like, are they really sliding? I mean, like, come on. Yeah. Like I said, it's not that they're sliding. It's that people in the media, so to speak, or people that cover the game, says they should do this. Yeah. They should take a quarterback. It's like, well, just because you say they should take a quarterback. And I said this on NFL Live the other day when I was talking to Mel, and Mel was actually going to join us at the 9 o'clock hour. I was speaking to him on NFL Live, and I said, just because somebody says that you have to take that position doesn't necessarily mean that you have to take that position, because personnel people may see things differently than what you see, right?
They may have always seen it. Their board may have always been different than what has been reported.
Always. I mean, it's just, I guess, the way people that set mock drafts, people that cover this stuff from the beginning to the end, Jay, you know, it's like when you in basketball, right, Jay? The Houston Rockets should take a 7-footer. It's like, well, what makes you say they should? Because he's 7 feet.
So let's say this.
They take Jay instead.
Key, let's say this. Let's just define slide as a guy who's projected by the media to go higher up in the first round, and it doesn't happen. KJM is brought to you by Beacon. Beacon and Beacon Pro Plus app helps roofers get things done from anywhere 24/7. Beacon, always building. So by that definition of slide, if a quarterback starts to, should other teams consider drafting them? Let's go team by team, okay? Jets got the 13th pick. Should they consider taking a guy if he slides?
No.
Do they have Aaron Rodgers? Yeah, I was about to say, do they have Aaron Rodgers, right?
Yeah. No, that's an easy no, Key.
No, they – okay. Should they take a quarterback with the 13th pick?
Yep.
No. Should they find a quarterback in the draft later on? Yes.
Yes. Yes.
But, like, in other words, if Hendon Hooker's there at 13, you let it go.
Yeah,
Hendon Hooker, I'm telling you right now, I'm taking Hendon Hooker. If Hendon Hooker's there for the Giants, I'm taking Hendon
Hooker. Here's what I'm going to say, Coach, is I don't know the conversations that Joe Douglas is having with the staff.
Exactly.
So if I knew the conversations that Joe Douglas was having with the staff in his thought process and what he's having with, almost called him Brett Favre, Lord have mercy, having with Aaron Rodgers, then I can give you a definitive answer on that. Because if he's having a conversation with Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers says, I'm done after the 2024 season, now you can look at it differently, mm-hmm. right? If he says, I'm going to give you 23 and 24, and then I'm done. So now you say, I could take Hendon Hooker, we can rehab him, and then get him ready to take over once Aaron Rodgers is done. So it's a little bit different.
Is there anything to a conversation with Green Bay and Brian Gutekunst on what quarterbacks potentially he does like? That maybe that's a trade value, right? Maybe that's an asset that you can then utilize.
Well, no, because they don't want to give him the 13th pick, period. So if you got to use the 13th pick, you give it.
They already got Jordan Love.
Yeah.
And they got to make a decision on Jordan Love's fifth-year option here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, Bill Barnwell had a good solution, I thought, which was it's a three-way deal with Seattle where everyone gets some pretty good stuff. The Jets go from 13 to 20, but they still got that pick in the first round. And they give up the 13, but they get the 20. What about the Vikings, Key? They're picking 23rd.
They should try to absolutely find – if they like one of these five guys or four guys, they should absolutely take a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because Kirk Cousins isn't there for the long haul, and they've got to now try to find his successor, whoever – they think, a succession plan coming along who they think could potentially take over for him when they decide to not give him any more money.
Yeah, I would say at 23rd, I think you may find value there, right? I mean, he still gives Kirk Cousins, you bring in somebody younger, give them time. Because for me, Aaron Rodgers leaves that division. He's the cream of the crop in the division.
You can move up, though. You don't have to sit it. Like, if they say, we like one of these quarterbacks and – depending on who's in front of them and slightly behind him who needs a quarterback, that they feel may jump them to 18 or jump them to somewhere in the middle of the teens, maybe there's a deal to be done to get them in a position where if that quarterback starts to slide that they like, they jump up in front of somebody and grab him. That could potentially be the case. But, it's hard to really say unless I'm in the room and understanding their thought process long term.
Okay, Key, I'm going to throw out a bunch of names, and I want you to tell me the team that if a quarterback slides, that's the one that should should
rapid
pounce.
Fire for Key?
Among the Lions and Titans and Falcons, the Pats, the Bucks, Washington, among that group of teams, who should be like, yup, we got a – if it's Hendon – I just figure it'd be Hendon Hooker. If it's Hooker is there, for which one of those teams would you be like, you got to jump?
I would say the Raiders. The Raiders have got to figure it out. The Pats, they don't need to. They just drafted a guy that they like or whatever.
Tampa.
Who else did you say?
Tampa.
Tampa Bay, maybe.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.